For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Got a little precursor to the episode. So, I just got a brand new webcam for some awesome webcam things. But, Windows, it's a sly dog, and it rerouted my default audio device away from my podcasting mic. So you get to enjoy the very crisp, clean audio of a 1080p webcam that I found on Amazon. Enjoy today's episode. I'm sorry.
I really am.
Yay!
Welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the show that dives into the wreckage that is post-apocalyptia. We are a post-nuclear podcast. I am your host, Vince, and I'm also here with...
your fully optimized, not buggy host, Declan.
And we're here with another... person on the show today. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
Yes, I am that guy who makes things for your video game, White Collar.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you.
any news from either of you before we jump on into it?
No, I don't have any updates. I just had a hot dog, so that's pretty delicious.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was food.
Yeah. So where did you get it from?
I got it from an on-campus establishment.
Oh, you weren't like some like Armenian dude who's just selling them out of a cart.
Street hot dogs.
Who doesn't? But not that like street hot dogs are bad. He just doesn't look like he was licensed. Like he was just selling them out of a little like a shopping cart.
And like a shopping cart with a freaking car battery to make it hot.
Oh, it's like that episode of Archer with chinchiladas.
Chinchiladas? What yeah. season is that? I have not like, watched Archer in a while.
It's one of the new ones. Season 9 or 10, but basically they were low on money, and so Pam and Archer decide to start a business, and the name of the business is Chinchiladas, and they were given chinchillas for free because they're popular for fur, and so they just turned them into chinchillas, which is it's what you think it is.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Is
I
Pam
love the
still
name.
Fat?
Yes, oh yeah, yeah.
Didn't she like slim down when they did the whole thing where they had like a ton of coke?
When her diet was entirely cocaine? Yeah, yeah. She slimmed down a little bit. Do not recommend that diet, all the young girls out there.
It kind of be like that if you're going to be just eight ball and a Coke for dinner.
Yeah, it does be like that. It doesn't make it healthy.
So, before we jump into the lore, I feel like we should just kind of get something out of the way.
Sure.
And I hate having to report on bad Fallout news, but did you hear that 76 might go free to play?
Oh, I've been keeping my eye on that, yeah.
Yeah, I saw some tweets, but... they said that was only a rumor officially, so...
Well, yeah, but, I mean, this is the company that it just works.
I did actually, no lie, see it priced for $8. Eight.
Oh, no.
$8.
No way.
Was it used?
No. It was the... Well, I mean, you can't really have a used digital code, right? So...
Oh, I don't ever think of digital codes. I'm a physical man.
There is no physical copy of Fallout 76.
What do you mean?
There's no they didn't make discs for Fallout
76. I have a disc. I have two discs.
You didn't get the paper disc with the code on it?
No.
You have an actual disc?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? I have a disc too.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. I don't want no fucking paper disc. Not in my house. Not my daughter.
Well, so like our friend of the show, Mrs. E, she pre-ordered a copy of
Mrs. E.
Yeah, she pre-ordered a copy of Fallout 76, a hard copy, for her PC. I guess, oh, you know what? It's because it was on PC. But she ordered a hard copy for PC, and the hard copy was, I'm not kidding, it was a Fallout 76, like, box, like, game box. And then you open it up, and it's just a paper disc with a code on it. Like, not
I don't even have a PC with an optical drive anymore.
Well, that
Okay. Like, I feel like people just don't build optical drives into their systems most in, like, recent years.
Well, I do, but that's because
I
still have music.
What if I want to listen to a CD?
Yeah, that's my thing. I still have music to, like, put on, you know, to, you know, rip off CDs, yeah. So, yeah.
I don't have music on CDs. I have music on records, and I have music as files.
Yeah, so I'm in that transitionary period still. I had a lot of CDs as a kid.
Wait, so you're telling me you don't have any A-tracks or any wax cylinders? What kind of audiophile are you?
Strictly music boxes.
Yes. If you don't use a Victrola cylinder, you're wrong.
I have a tape deck, right? It's a Sony Walkman that's hooked up to a $35,000 Macintosh receiver, and it's the warmest, most optical sound that I could ever produce out of my speakers.
Wow.
That I paid $39 for on a sale at Guitar Center.
But
No, dude, that's all fucking horseshit. You know what my sound is like.
I was like,
vintage Technics, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely have a Technics tape deck.
What were you going to say, White? Sorry.
No, you could have fooled me. I was biting hard. I believed you.
Oh, no, dude. No way. No, I want a Walkman. I'm the only fucking 22-year-old kid who's like, I need a Walkman.
Did you not have a Walkman?
No, I had CDs. I didn't grow up with tape.
Yeah, so I had both this. I mean, we called it a Walkman because, like, it was just what it, you know, that's what that was. It's like tissue, yeah. It just kind of carries over.
Like Kleenex, Band-Aid.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we had both the tape one, and then my parents had the tape one for a while, and then when I was old enough to start having CD collections, I got they called it a Walkman. It was still a Sony, but it was a CD version of a Walkman. Yeah.
I had one of those.
Yeah, they made CD Walkman. I had a blue CD player that was a CD Walkman.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But yeah, I mean, I used to listen to Green Day on the bus.
It had the little belt clip like built onto the side of it, so you could just.
Oh,
like...
No. I didn't have that much money growing up.
No. Slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was drinking a little bit.
No, you're good. You're good.
So, Vince, do you want to hit us with the sweet, sweet lore?
Yeah, I was just about to say today's lore.
Yeah,
is on the Gek, and not the Gek in game. It's the Gek, the
software application.
Software. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I'm excited. Oh wait,
I have.
Oh no, never mind. No, I'm not excited.
What? No,
oh,
say it. Speak your mind.
I thought we were talking about. I got confused. I thought you were talking about, like, the box that you pick up in Fallout 3. Spoiler alert for Fallout 3.
Come on, dude. The game's only, like, 11 years old. There's tons of people who played it.
I know. I thought you were talking about that. And you're talking about the actual software that we use to make mods. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'm with you now.
The Gek. Mm-hmm. Should one man really have all that power? The Gek is a free software download that PC users can create and add their own content. You have to have Fallout in order to use it to its full degree. The Gek allows users to create and edit any data in Fallout 3 and or New Vegas, be it building landscapes, towns and locations, dialogue, character creation, weapons, creatures, and complex scripts. It kind of works on Elder Scrolls games. You have to have, like, a script extender, but kind of. And it kind of, like, when I was reading it off the wiki, was a very Bethesda thing about it, where it was just like, hey, this works, kind of.
Yeah,
and it's like, figure out how it works, which... What else do I have here? The first time it came out was in December 11th of 2008 for Fallout 3, and that was almost two months after Fallout 3 came out. October 19th, 2010 was for Fallout New Vegas. Then it was available for download on Steam of May 20th of 2013. Then they changed it to just the creation kit for Skyrim?
Mm-hmm.
So
that way
it just
opened it up to any of the modern Bethesda titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They had an open beta for the creation kit on April 26th of 2016. The kit came out for the Xbox in May of 2016. The PS4 was supposed to get support for... And this might not be true. This might have already happened. The article I was reading might have been out of date. But the PlayStation was supposed to get it June of 2016, and Skyrim would get mod support first for PlayStation, and then Fallout would get it later. I don't know if that's... But I don't know if the mods ever came out, because they came out, but we never got, like, custom creation mods for the PS4.
In Bethesda's defense, it's not Bethesda's fault. That's a Sony issue.
No, yeah, I know that.
Because Sony was being a bunch of dinguses.
Yeah. Did you hear what Sony's official statement on crossplay was?
I think I did. I think, quote it back to me, though.
Wasn't it
fuck you by a PlayStation?
They weren't just on Twitter like, no, fuck you. But it was like something along the lines of, why would you want to play on Xbox? Just play on a PlayStation.
I think that's what I remember.
Yeah, so. And then Fortnite was just like, hey, you can do it for free. We're going to give everybody the tools to do it. So
yeah, so now Fortnite's on everything ever.
Okay, before we jump any further into anything, I've been putting this off for like 2 or 3 weeks now. Declan, we have to shout out Ralph.
Ralph who?
Ralph, the dude at the McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh, you're right.
Dude, all right, so story time before we hit you with what's really important today. Declan was home for Christmas and New Year's and all that good stuff, and... So we went to this card shop that's near us, and we played Keyforge for like 12 hours. And when we got out of there,
freaking awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it was a tournament. It was tight.
12 and hours?
Well, it wasn't 12. It was probably like 6 or 7. But still,
I was worried.
We were there for a long time. We played a lot of Keyforge. We had a good time. Okay. Merriment was had around.
Yeah.
So I look at Declan. It's like midnight, and I go, "Yo, food?" And he's like, "Dude, food."
Food.
So the closest thing to us was a McDonald's. So we go to McDonald's, right? And I've talked about this wallet. This wallet has brought me so many conversations. there's a previous episode where it might have been the episode Silly Pants. I could be wrong. Any excuse to say Silly Pants, I'll take it though. And I have this wallet with a Vault Boy on it, and I take out my wallet to pay for everything, and the guy's like, "Hey, you're a Fallout fan?" And I go, "Yeah, man, you like Fallout?" And he's like, "Yeah, dude, I'm a pretty big fan." And I look over at Declan and give him, like, the sly look, and I look back and I go, "By chance, you a podcast type of guy?" He's like, kinda. And I was like, "Yeah." I said, there's a really great, and I will plug my show. I'll plug my show at a funeral.
I was just going to say, you would plug our show at the funeral.
Oh, no. I'd be at a funeral and be like, "Hey, I'm so sorry to hear about your grandmother, but I host a podcast if you want to get your mind off it for like an hour." Like, I would pimp my shit out with zero regard. But, like, I couldn't do it. I could have just been so hungry and, like, I was about to give this man money, so I didn't want to feel like I was, like, being a dick to him. I don't know. But I was like, "Hey, man, there's this great podcast on YouTube that's a Fallout podcast." He's like, "Really? What's the name of it?" I'm like, "Atomic Radio Hour, the show that dives into the wreckage of this post-apocalyptic." They're a post-nuclear podcast. And he's like, "Oh, I've heard of it." I look over at Deck and I'm like,
"Ah!" And he just, like, died, yeah.
And I was like, "Really? How'd you hear about it?" He's like, "Oh, I saw it on YouTube." I was like, "Man," I was like, "I'm a big fan. I'm a big, big fan." And I've never said it on the show, but I have a phone case that's the logo.
Oh, God.
And I was like, "Man, I'm such a big fan. I got a phone case."
It was honestly a legendary moment.
Yeah, like, the second he shut the window and we pulled off, I fucking... But you know what's funny?
Screaming.
You know, yeah, we were screaming, dude. It was just... Like, it was fucking... But, like, that's the second time at that McDonald's that I've gotten a comment on my wallet.
Man, that McDonald's hires a lot of gamers.
Dude, there's this one girl that every time I'm in there, she forgets that I've had this conversation with her before. She's like, "Oh, I love your wallet." I'm like, "Hey, thanks. You like podcasts?" And just, I love it. All right. So, mods, sorry. Shout out to Ralph. If you're out there and you're listening, come on the show. You're more than welcome. Hook me up with some McNuggets. Now, topic of this week. Sorry, I've been putting that off for a while. Mods.
I like that story, though. That was a good story.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Mods, the modifications that people implement into their games, be it Elder Scrolls, be it Fallout, be it any game, Gary's mod being the biggest one of them all.
Right.
Let's kind of go down the list, and I want everybody's first experience and how we feel about mods.
Okay, you want to start?
I was gonna go last. I was gonna have the two of you go first. You could play rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first.
I'll genuflect to our guest.
Okay.
Oh, well, okay. Well, if you're gonna genuflect, all right. Let's see. First experience with mods. I have been using mods since the Fallout 3, since Fallout 3 New Vegas days. Albeit I was late to the party because I didn't have a PC for a while, so I was a little bit late to the. So by the time I got around to installing mods on Fallout 3 in New Vegas, they were already going strong. I learned about mods. The only way I knew mods even existed was because I also got into the phase of watching stuff on YouTube. Shout out to Al Chessbreach. He did mod reviews for New Vegas at the time, still does, I think, and saw some of his stuff, and I was like, what in the world is this? Didn't have any idea what was going on. I was like, this is not what my Fallout New Vegas game looks like, nothing like this. And looked into it, and I was like, this is a thing, and that just kind of started the wheel going from there. And then I cut my teeth on modding, creating mods on Fallout 4, but that translates easily over to Skyrim, so I've done like a little bit of stuff, mostly just because people have been like, hey, this bug happens in Skyrim, can you fix it? And they'd be like, yeah, sure. And then I'd like do it for that. So done that, and yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I've grown a lot since just starting out, basically editing other people's mods. We've gone to making my own sort of kind of big deal-ish mods for Fallout 4. They've been featured on, actually, if I may brag slightly, for a while, like a week or so, if you just Googled Fallout 4 mods, my mod was the first thing that popped up in Google, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty rad.
That's awesome,
And that was a cool feeling. So people were taking note of me, and it was really awesome. And now I help out with a big overhaul mod for Fallout 4 called Fallout Cascadia. So that's my history with mods. Declan?
So hold on, not to cut you off, Declan, but you like the mods, right? You're a fan of them. You enjoy them.
Yeah, so if we're doing like the personal philosophy on modding, yes, I like mods, but I only like certain types of mods. Like everybody's got like their own category of mods. Mm-hmm. And I'm not crazy about the, you know, girl with boobs so big she can stop a bullet to, and you know, like Thomas the Tank Engine dragons. Not big on that kind of stuff. I prefer...
You see, I want to call you out for a second there, because the ideal Alduin is Thomas the Tank Engine.
You have... That's a good point. That's a good point. But I've more been along the lines of mods that sort of enhance the game as it is intended, or even, you know, outright fixes it in a lot of cases. but I don't like, I guess the short bumper sticker version is I just like lore friendly mods. So
you don't like gratuitous stuff,
right? I don't like I don't like for Fallout 4. I don't like all the modern firearms. I don't like you know, I don't like having, you know, like, I don't know, what is it? Titanfall super mechs drop down from the sky and, you know, giant, you know, things. And more friendly in the vein of the game mod. Same thing for pretty much any game. Those are the kind of mods I like. And those are the kind of mods I create.
So, love that.
Yeah. Do what I can. You go. I want to hear your story.
My stories. So modding, my story goes before I got into modding with Skyrim and modding with Fallout. I actually started my modding days with Minecraft.
Oh, cool.
Minecraft.
And I was, of course, into Minecraft just as everyone else was. I played during beta and I loved it, and I have some really fond gamer memories of growing up with Minecraft. And I was really into modding way back before, like, all the mods had, like, perfectly, like, module pieces. Like, before Forge, before, like, any of that stuff. Back where, like, the old mod loader had to be installed and, like, you had to do all the manual stuff.
Yeah.
I used to love that stuff. So, I made my own really, really bad Minecraft mod. And it was just like adding a new ore in the Nether and stuff, and just like a couple extra tools.
That's pretty cool.
It was really bad, but it was like at least a really cool experience.
Yeah.
Other than that, I actually got into Bethesda games kind of late. Like the only Bethesda game that I've been around for launch is Fallout 4 and 76.
Mm-hmm.
So I started modding with Skyrim and Fallout 3 at the same time. Because I played a shit ton of Skyrim over at Christmas break one time, enough to the point where I was like, I need something gratuitous, like Thomas the Tank Engine. Or that was at the time where Steven Universe had just came out, so I got, like, the Rose Quartz, like, purple, or, like, the pink, shield that you could, like, summon from, like, the ether. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So I started with, like, those, like, just seeing like different fun stuff. And then I really got a taste for mods that can be seen in plain sight, kind of like lore friendly stuff. There was one that I really liked that added throwing torches and throwing knives.
Torches? What is this?
Yeah, you can take any of the torches in game, it allowed you to start to throw them. So you can just pick one up off the wall and toss it into a cave and it like would illuminate what's forward.
That is cool.
So it's like a fireball spell, but with torches.
You basically just and then the torch goes flying.
That's going on my list.
Yeah, that one was really cool. It also an update to that mod gave it so that you can take potions and turn them into like splash potions, so you can just make like basically Molotovs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's it was really, really cool. And it also added throwing knives. And I loved that. And it edited the assets for like the original daggers to make them like actually look like throwing knives that were fit into the game.
Oh, cool.
So I loved that. And I of course went in for like the tweaks that like made the game better, like the unofficial patches. And like follower AI tweaks and stuff like that. And
those are
just
necessary.
Those are just necessary at this point. And
I've been playing Skyrim again, and it is the most ass to have a companion. I have the archery wood elf man guy person.
Yeah.
Who almost gets cucked, and that's how you get him.
Yeah.
And like he's terrible. He does nothing.
he's just a pack mule.
He's literally there, and he's not even like, I'm swatting to carry your burdens. He's just like, hey, when you go up a level, pay me money and I'll train you how to do archery better. I'm like, come on, dude, fucking do something. I'm getting attacked by a bear.
This is Stealth Archery Simulator. I don't need your help.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, I then later on, I played New Vegas. I actually played New Vegas before Fallout 3, but I modded New Vegas way later. Because I did a playlist where I just fucked up New Vegas so hard. And, like, not fucked up in a bad way. Like, I fucked it up in a good way.
Oh, okay.
Like, I just packed it with as many mods as I could until my computer screamed. And that was one of my most joyous playthroughs of the game. Because I found all things that were, like, visually appealing and lore friendly, or even just cool. Like, I got one that you could remodel the hotel in Prim.
The Restore the Bison Steve mod.
Restore Bison Steve. I really...
Is it actually like a thing, or does it just look like a Best Western?
No.
It's like an actual thing, and it's really cool.
Wow. Yeah, like you do quests to build it up into a casino and a hotel.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah,
actually.
And it just prints money.
It might be so cool that I'm doing a video about it.
Really?
Ooh,
maybe.
Sneak peek, maybe.
Maybe.
Cool. Yeah.
I added so many mods to New Vegas, and it just made the game everything that my heart desired on the first go around.
That's awesome. I can agree with that a lot. Yeah, it definitely, mods take the game to a place where it's what you wanted specifically. They let you really personalize it, and I think that's what kind of everybody wants when they play a game.
So I think you can probably tell from my tone that I am very pro mod.
I think Vince is not pro mod.
He's pro mod on a good day.
Hold on. My experience with them is I think I've modded Fallout 4 once.
On what?
I wanted to play a survival campaign when they added the hardcore mode. Uh-huh. I didn't understand why there wasn't a sleeping bag part of the game, because I thought I remember hearing God Rodimus Howard talk about how we were going to have sleeping bags that we could put down anywhere for 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. Wasn't in the game. Mm-hmm. And there was a mod to put sleeping bags in the game. It was pretty much a grenade that you threw it down and a sleeping bag would appear, and you could sleep there for X amount of hours. That is the only mod I've ever modded into any sort of Elder Scrolls or Fallout game, any Bethesda game. I have Gary's mod that I've played with Declan, and I think on my old Facebook account there's screenshots that Declan has posted of the two of us playing Gary's mod when we were small children.
I'll see if I can put them in the video portion
if you can find them. Hell yeah. I think I'm a skeleton Declan. it's like the baby Muppets. That's the only time I've ever modded anything, and I'm not a huge fan of them, to be completely honest. I don't think they're necessary. I look at a lot of art, the way the French look at food, The French look at food as, if the chef made it a certain way, that's the way it's to be enjoyed. It's the way you are to eat it. In France, if they see you putting ketchup on something, it's considered highly disrespectful. And probably in Japan, too. I've been on a weird Japan kick lately. But I never saw it necessary. I've never played a game and went, oh my god, this would be so much better with mods. I've never looked at a game and said, like, they didn't do a good job. Like, I think I just kind of understood that this game takes a lot of time and energy that needs to be put into it. And with that being said, there are some things that are going to get missed. And I'm okay with that because it's kind of like, not like playing on hard mode, but you're playing at a disadvantage, which gives it that extra little bit you're playing with a disadvantage, so it gives it that extra little bit of challenge that you have to acclimate towards.
Play Fallout New Vegas with and without New Vegas Anti-Crash and tell me mods aren't necessary. Look me in the eyes and tell me mods aren't necessary.
Yes,
you have no idea. Yes.
Also, you're coming at it from the perspective of playing on the PC.
And you tell me you've never had Fallout New Vegas crash for you on the console?
Maybe a few times, not anything that I remember spectacularly. It's a Bethesda game. It's crashed on me. I'm not going to sit here
never. Nope. Uh-uh. You can't use that defense anymore.
What do you mean?
Games should never crash, ever, for any reason, unless you intentionally break it.
I'm fully aware of that.
All right, well then, don't give it the pass.
Okay,
put it back in the deck. Put it in the deck.
I don't want to give it the pass, but the way I also look at it is, I shouldn't say it's a Bethesda game, it's going to crash, but if I don't buy other games and get 200-400 hours out of them. Like, if I buy any other game, like, I loved Resident Evil 7, like, that is, like, one of my, probably, like, my top 10 games. Probably, like, number 10, maybe number 9, maybe number 8. I love that game. I have never played another Resident Evil before in my life. I've only played it once because I don't feel the need to go back and play it again. I have replayed Fallout 3. I've replayed Fallout 3 to the point where I could probably speedrun the game. Like, I've played it so many times, and I constantly enjoyed it. Yes, it's buggy. Yes, it's broken. Yes, shit doesn't work. But what other game have I put more than 200 hours in the past 10 years?
Another Fallout
game. Grand Theft Auto 5, yeah, I've put at least 100 hours in the story mode and probably like 50 to 60 hours on the online mode, but I didn't leave Grand Theft Auto 5 happy. I didn't leave Grand Theft Auto 5 and go, this was a good experience and I enjoyed every bit of it. I left Grand Theft Auto 5 going, this sucked, it's not fun anymore, everything is too realistic, where the fuck is CJ, we never talk about OG Loke, we never talk about... we don't talk about, what the fuck, Big Smoke, what was his name?
Red Dead Redemption 1.
Red Dead Redemption 1 I've gotten a lot of time out of, yes. Mm. But I don't think I've gotten 200, 300, 400 hours out of it. I've probably got about 200, because I didn't do all the side missions. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your ass. I didn't go find all the fucking flowers for the guy with the dead wife. I didn't talk to Abe Lincoln. I didn't talk to the guy in Armadillo who's like, I've got myself here a Nickelodeon. Like, I played the story, and I just cried the whole time, especially when you get to towards the end, because that game is fucking immaculate.
Yeah.
But, like...
Did it ever crash on you once?
Probably. I ran it on a 360.
I did, too. I actually genuinely, specifically recall Red Dead never crashing, because I think that would totally ruin any moment that game. Like, imagine if you're in the scene where you're crossing into Mexico and that song's playing, and then bam, crash. Okay.
Yeah, you know, that'd be frustrating. With Irish, that's like one of the best missions in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
I don't think I ever had Fallout 3 crash on my PlayStation 3.
Really?
And that was the worst. That was probably the worst version of Fallout 3.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's just luck.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's two schools of thought. If you drive a car for 10 hours versus you driving a car for 100 hours, you're going to notice that the car you drove for 100 hours has more hiccups than the car you only drove for 10.
But what about in the case of, say, Fallout New Vegas, if we bring it back to Fallout games, where the developers originally intended for the strip to be all one area? When you walk into the strip, the grandeur of New Vegas is laid out before you, no loading screens or nothing. Mm-hmm. But they had to reduce that limitation for technical reasons. They were limited by the technology of their day. But when we came into later eras and mods gave us things like the 4 GB patch enabler, which basically just lets New Vegas use more memory resources,
which is a god tier.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. That's shit that I like.
But then there was another mod that came along that opened up New Vegas into one whole area. So when you open the gates of New Vegas for the first time, all of the strip is right there. It's all
no, single cell light. Strip.
There's no loading screens whatsoever.
Yeah,
no
the single cell the strip game? Mod.
No, just the city.
Oh, I was going to say, what kind of Tony Hawk American Wasteland shit are you trying to pull on me?
No.
No, but the single cell strip mod is one of the most essential things ever.
It's amazing.
I get that. I understand that. And that's the shit. That's the good shit. But, like, at the same time, I watch a video that has mods in it, and it's like, this is a realistic AR-15 with a wooden grip stock, and also has a fucking blender to make smoothies and a fucking fleshlight. Like, I don't want a real, like, I want my Fallout-y ass weapons.
So then you're with me on it.
Yeah, but I don't hate mods. I don't think they're completely pointless. I just don't think I should buy a game and go, well, they fucked it up already. I know that. Let me boot it in with a bunch of fucking extras on it.
Well, yeah, no.
And I feel like people, if I could butt in.
Of course.
I feel like people that use mods don't necessarily use them because they think the original game is faulty or bad.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But they just want to have an elevated experience, which is understandable when a game's begin to age.
When people come to me and they in different like forum servers whatever, and they say, hey, I just got Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas on the PC. What mod should I get? What do you recommend? I say very first thing I tell them. I say first of all, play the game all the way through vanilla, absolutely, hands down. There's no every Bethesda game you should definitely at least play all the way through vanilla once. And if for no other reason. It's one to just enjoy the unimpeded story that they've crafted, and then two,
the authentic experience.
Yeah, and then two is once you do that, you'll have a better idea of what things you maybe think could work better, and what things you might prefer for your own experience. So that's it's kind of twofold there, but no, yeah. I'm with you totally. I definitely see the value in a vanilla experience. Don't get me wrong.
I, like I said, I'm not against it. I'm not opposed to it. I don't think it's wrong. I don't look at it like bringing it back to food. I don't look at it like, oh, you modded that game. It's not like you put ketchup on your steak, you troglodyte. Like, it's not.
I kind of look at it like that. Don't put ketchup on your steak. What are you doing?
Well, no, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying I don't look at modding like that. It's like I kind of look at it like, okay, this is good. And I'm going to take my leftovers home and add fucking garlic powder and sriracha and fucking sesame oil and make it better. Like, but it's, I don't, it's not necessarily necessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no need to turn water into wine every single time.
Yeah. Like it's, I think a lot of, and I feel like I'm going to be put on a cross if I say this, but I feel like a lot of the novelty of Fallout 3 for me is that it's janky as fuck.
It's Oblivion. The guns are just Oblivion bows.
Yeah. Like I've been playing, I've been playing Skyrim on the PS4. And it is the most bugged fucking mess I've played in a long time. And Declan was telling me the other day that apparently the PS4 version was nigh impossible to play when it first came out.
Oh, wouldn't know.
I don't know. Like, I'm playing it, and it's annoying that, like, I'm in full stealth mode killing people, and I'm, like, losing my stealth ability because they're like, what's going on over there? Like, dude, you're in a fucking different room. How did you know he died?
Did you know there are mods to fix that?
I'm aware of this. I don't know if they do exist on PS4, but they're not great ones. Mm. Like they're not. It's like this bow is a frost bow now, or the arrows are frost arrows because they do a certain damage. It's not like I can't have Thomas the Tank Engine flying.
It's
around.
Not the nitty gritty control you get off PC.
I was gonna say your perspective, Vince, and admittedly, it might be a little limited by your limitations, frankly.
Your platform of choice.
But also, like, I don't like, this is another thing I'll get put on a cross for, I don't like playing on a PC, because one of the games I grew up with was Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And during the winter sale on Steam, I got Sonic Adventure 1 and Sonic Adventure 2 for less than $5. Those are games that I've put probably two, three, Sonic Adventure 2, I've probably put 2, 3, 400, 500 hours into because they're the games I grew up with. Back when I had time to put that much time into something that wasn't quote unquote productive.
Right.
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 Yeah.
I have a fairly decent PC. Declan can attest for that.
That's right.
Yeah. It's all right.
Hey, did you fix, sorry, sidetrack. Did you fix his graphic card while you were over the break?
No. I'm God, a bad friend.
Damn it. I told him, I was like, oh, come up. We'll find out what cords I need. You could say hello to my mother. It'll be nice. Oh, we'll come over, have a cup of tea. And then he tells me to go fuck myself.
Wow.
That's exactly how it played out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, hey, come over. He's like, no, fuck you. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go sit on your couch for 2 hours. Okay, so this is a game that's fucking 15 years old. No, it's probably. It's like 2003.
Yeah.
So I could not get it to run on my computer. I have to run it in the lowest, like, windowed screen to run it. I could whip out my GameCube and put the disc in and load it up and still have all my chows from the fucking past decade and a half right there.
Declan, did you take a look?
I did not take a look.
No,
I think
but
it's
that's
a compatibility mode issue.
That's yeah. But that's not the point I'm getting at. I don't give a fuck what kind of mode issue it is. What I'm saying is with a PC, I have to take 49 extra steps to make sure I could run fucking Train Simulator 2008, fucking the Tonka edition. Like, or I could just fucking find my Xbox and play it. Like, I also hate this whole, I have to download, and I understand you have to download the game so they run faster on your console, but it's like, oh yeah, motherfucking midnight release for Red Dead 2, get home, it's 1 o'clock because I had to wait in line because I was group 2 for life, and I had to fucking get home, install the Johnson, it's 2 discs, 100-something gigabytes, well fuck me, what do? It's 3 in the morning and I have work tomorrow, I'm not going to get to play this till I get to work, until I get home from work, and guess what? I'm going to be at work all day tomorrow. My performance is going to be faulty because all I'm thinking about is John fucking Marston.
You're kind of talking yourself in a loop there because that particular issue you're referring to right now doesn't happen on PC.
Because of preload.
Right.
Fine. And I can preload games if I don't buy the disc. But
well, assuming
sorry,
not Bethesda
I want a
games.
Physical
cough.
Thing.
Cough.
You can't preload yeah. them? Oh, Bethesda. Yeah, because they fucking delete themselves.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, like, I am here for the console, and I feel like I have to represent those people.
Oh, no, go for it. Man, I still got a console. Actually, I got a few. Don't talk. Man, I don't buy a console.
No, I'm not, like, I'm not saying that you're dissing them. I'm just saying that you're predominantly, the two of you are predominantly PC, right?
Yes.
This is true.
Yeah, so here I am with my controller in hand. And I get it. You can use your DualShock and your Xbox and your Switch and your fucking now GameCube controller on PC.
I was
fine.
Gonna say, I'm literally looking at the controller I was using to play that Nazi game earlier.
Yeah. It's just like I like the reliability of it, and also I don't like that I can like my not saying that I do this, but I can boot up my computer, play World of Warcraft for 12 hours, and then use it to go on Amazon and like find hentai. Not saying that I'm gonna find some hentai, but like
it's an odd example of things you don't do.
I'm trying to think of like parallels, like what's like the fucking the craziest shit you can do.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a console, I get on.
Parallel, but I get it.
Yeah, like I could go on Amazon and buy a fucking self-stirring mug. like, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I boot up my console, I play Skyrim for a few hours, I get off, I go on my computer and do my my degenerate
Hentai.
Activities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like I like having things separate. I like things in their place. And I get that you lose mods. Let's try to fucking bring it back to that quick. I get that you lose mods and you lose a lot of the capability. And like even on PlayStation, I think the mods that you do get, you're only allowed to have like a gig or two.
Yeah.
And I think on Xbox, you're allowed to have up to 5.
Yeah.
Is it more roughly. Or is it 5?
That's roughly that.
Yeah. So I get that. And like when I gave my brother a copy of Fallout 4 for his PlayStation. His first thing was, oh, I can use mods? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, give me pretty much the developer room. Because he was just like, I just want to walk into, I was going to say DC. I want to walk into just the city with a fat man and just unlimited nukes.
Yeah.
So, like, what are you like? I don't know, man. I just there's never been a point in time where I've ever played a game and goes, this needs to be modded.
No, I haven't either. But well, I say that I feel that way once I've played a game when I've had mods for it, when I go back to playing a game vanilla and I've had mods for it and I know what the difference is. But that's just a personal thing. But no, I agree with you completely. I think people should play games however they want to be played. So if you prefer to play on console, then I mean, do you, man? If you prefer to play on PC, you know, do you? If you prefer to have the cheat room in Fallout 4 and have unlimited ammo, then do you? I mean, you know, these games are a personal experience. Everybody's got different stories. That's kind of what makes it fun, right?
Yeah.
But I'll caution in saying that. I don't know. I'm not saying you are. It's just, it's tough talking about mods in a negative light when you maybe, you know, you don't have the full picture.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. That's all.
I tried making a few mods for Fallout 3.
You did?
Yeah.
You're going to have to change your opinion on mods once the ARH mod comes out.
Well, I wasn't talking about that one, but yeah. There was, back in the day, we had, I doubt he listens. I haven't spoken to him in a very long time. And the last I heard, he was in a third world country. I don't know the name. He was overseas. Friend of the show, Shane's. Shout out to you.
Holy Shane's.
Yeah. I should probably censor his last name.
Sorry.
yeah. Bleep. But dude, shout out to you. I don't know, should I? It's a very vague name.
It's like there's Robert one Johnson. There's 1 billion Shane on this planet.
Yeah. But he was like this. He was like, I don't know, dude. Shane was one of these kids that like you only meet once in a lifetime that had like a crazy amount of energy.
Yeah.
And was like at the same, he had like ADD or ADHD. And at the same time was, like, the stand-up, well-put-together, well-dressed, well-spoken kid.
Nice.
Yeah, he was a year older than us, and he was a cool kid. He, like, skipped his entire summer to go do basic training and shit, and he was, like, a stand-up kid, and he was really fucking funny, and he was pretty funny. He was so, remember we had lunch with him, and he was the funniest fucking kid. And
the shit he would come up with, like, dude, it was insane.
Fucking Mr. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
He used to yell for the gym teacher, like.
He'd be in a math class and be like, Mr.
And the math teacher, or the gym teacher, was just, he was just such a, like. Like, you would compliment him, and he would get nervous. Like, he was just that type of guy. Like, I was like, hey, man, have a good weekend. He goes, ah, oh, da, 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 da. You too, Vince. Like, but he was a good guy. But Shane, I was trying to make a mod that was a companion mod that was Shane.
I love that.
And it was gonna
I forgot
be
whenever, about that.
You remember this?
I remember this.
It was going to be any time you shot Shane, it sounded like you were hitting metal. And he was going to have an automatic combat shotgun that shot grenades.
Nice.
And he was going to have like 4 lines of dialogue, and one was just, yeah! And he would get, like, anytime he got into combat, the dialogue was just, I'm Shane! Then he would just shoot people. Like, I it didn't work. It wasn't applicable? Yeah. It wasn't. Like, I couldn't figure it out. I was also running it on a computer that could probably barely run it. But
yeah. And also, Fallout 3, as you have told us, was one of the first ways that you could have the modding tool. And back then, it was not
very well supported.
Yeah. No, it did not. It does not do the things that the creation kit does now, which is why they renamed it, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so when they renamed it, it was because, one, it's just a far better tool now. Two, you can do more with it. They changed all the coding. Well, not they didn't change all of it, but like it's a much better version of the scripting that is used for the game. There's more stuff you can do, more stuff with it. That's why, like, if you ever look at mods for Fallout 3, they're just not of the same caliber as like Fallout New Vegas mods or Fallout 4 mods.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of the reason. Same thing with like, actually, Oblivion had really good mods.
Oblivion's mods were impressive for what the developers had.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And like
can I
Skyrim
say some foul shit real quick?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I've actually never played Oblivion. No, I lie. I've only played Oblivion for like 2 hours.
That was my first ever Bethesda game, and that's where I fell in love, yeah.
See, my
can I say some foul shit real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I only played Oblivion for like 3 hours.
It's not foul at all. Oblivion, it was Bethesda's first attempt at a role-playing game for consoles, and I honestly think they hit the nail on the head. Because it was enough of that old school RPG style that you want from, and I say first, that's not technically true. Morrowind was on the console as well, but it was a better attempt at bringing RPGs to consoles, and I think they really did well with it. And it was
they did kind of set the stage for console RPGs.
Yes, and it was with that game specifically. That's definitely, I would say, the turning point in their career as like a well known game studio, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah. And so from then, you know, from there, they went into better Fallout games and stuff like that. And Skyrim, obviously. Which is pretty much, I think, Skyrim basically where they became just like a household name.
Yeah.
But
Declan was telling me that the amount of sales that they had for Skyrim indicates some sort of statistic saying that it's a lot of people's first RPG ever.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
And yep. That's like a high standard to live up to.
Yeah, I think that's also very true.
I mean,
it's why you have people like my roommates who are frat boys and have played basically two games, Skyrim and Fortnite.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has played Skyrim at this point.
Everyone in their fucking child.
You can play it on Alexa.
You can. I tried. It was tough.
It was tough.
Alexa, play Skyrim Special Edition. Let's see if anybody at home is just like, that's what I want, like, this show to just become. It's a scavenger hunt of when the fuck is it going to bring up Alexa?
It's like when the Xbox voice things first came out, and they would watch videos and be like, Xbox, shut off.
Yeah.
I actually used that bit that you guys started that bit, and I used it at my friend's house, and it was hilarious. Did the Pop-Tarts, specifically.
How many did you order?
I ordered 12, because as you guys found out...
Did it order 12?
It tried to, but you had to like say like yes again. It's like, I'm gonna order 12. It's like, do you want, that's like, all right, okay. It's like, okay, I've got your order for 12 boxes of Pop-Tarts. Do you, or like, you want me to place it? And then you're like, and then the person who owns it was like, no, and that ruined it.
I know the workaround for this. You got to get a separate speaker, right?
Uh-huh.
And you got to make a playlist that's called the Pop-Tarts playlist. Okay, hear me out. Follow me.
All right,
you got to do it on Spotify, and it's a game for everybody now. You put it on random shuffle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and my God.
You find a song where the chorus is like, yeah, 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 right?
No.
Right? So you know it's coming, but nobody else knows it's coming. And then as the song starts, you got to time it perfectly. So when the chorus comes, you'll be like, Alexa, order 12 boxes of strawberry banana yogurt Pop-Tarts. And all of a sudden she's just like, I'm about to order 12 strawberry banana Pop-Tarts. Yes or no? And then the song's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you just charge your buddy a bunch of money, and then you don't have that friend anymore.
Yeah, that was what was happening. I got hit.
Did you?
Well, like, it was
Did I incite violence?
It was from a girl. It was like a joke kind of hit.
Oh.
It was like a joke punch, you know? But anyway. She would have been mad.
I mean, I would have been mad, and then I would have been like, at least I have Pop-Tarts.
All I could think of right now is doing that game, but the song you use is Cookin' by the Book featuring Lil Jon.
Oh, shit.
Because he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I think, don't get me wrong, I think modding could be great for more storytelling. I think modding could be great for... A new way to look at the game. How there's, I forget the mod itself, but there was a Mr. Matty Plays playthrough where he did it on like New Vegas on like I'm trying to think of the right word for it, like anal bypass mode.
Excuse me?
Yeah, where it's just like rectal removal mode, where it just took out your ass and destroyed it.
Is it Dust?
It might have been.
It sounds like it probably was.
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember what the story was. I remember watching a few episodes, and the one episode that like sticks out the most was these Brotherhood or Enclave, the Incinerary guys with the flamethrowers.
The flamers, yeah.
Yeah. Him just getting absolutely decimated by those guys.
Okay, maybe not dust, but still cool.
Yeah, and I just remember being like, why do you want to play this? Like, challenge, what is the story? No, and I get challenged.
There was totally a mod, I forget what it is, but it made it so that you can't heal ever. Yes. And when you die, you die.
Yeah.
See, I like permadeath shit, but I think you should also have the option to and stim pack up.
Well, yeah, stim packs are canon, so, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, Declan just said you can't heal.
Well, like, that's no, that's a mod, but that's for, again, it's catered to a very specific audience. People who maybe are doing a type of run, you know.
The people that like Dark Souls.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I'm going to get some shit for this, too, but I don't get the appeal of Dark Souls. I don't get, I like, when I play a game, I don't want to sit there and be like, oh my god, I'd rather wipe my ass with sandpaper than do this again. Let's do it 17 more times. Like, I want to get, I want to be told a story.
Challenge. Dark Souls is a story.
No, I get that, but isn't a lot of Dark Souls a story? Like, you have to look it up yourself?
I don't know. Maybe if you don't pay attention. Maybe if you're too caught up in dying.
I mean, I can call you out, Vince, because you loved Cuphead.
Yeah, and?
And you, that game is built around dying.
Yes, I loved it for its I loved it for its art style mostly, and its soundtrack.
Its soundtrack is legendary.
That's a game that's a very old school style of game. I bought it going into it knowing I'm not here for the story is fucking Cuphead and Mugman are gambling and they're like, I'm on a hot streak. I'm gonna bet my soul, and the devil's like, will you now? And then Elder Kettle's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's the story. That's the fucking story.
Sounds like a good story.
It's great. It's a great game. I love it. 10 out of 10. But just, it's like, I have certain expectations when I buy a game, right?
Right.
I have the expectation of, I don't buy a lot of games. I don't think a lot of games are good, to be frank. I just don't like them anymore. Like, it's,
you're just an old man. We get it.
Yeah, I'm an old man. Get off my fucking lawn. I need to be invested in some way. I need there to be something striking about it. Right?
Yeah, I'll admit, the first expectation I have when I buy a new game is that it works. Cough, Bethesda, cough. If I'm being honest, I'm not kidding when I say this very truthfully, and I've been doing this for a while now. I have never been more excited for mods for a game. Not mods that I'm going to create, but mods that I'm going to see other people create, and me too. But I've never been more excited for mods for a game than Fallout 76.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm not even playing that game, and probably won't for a long time.
I'm giving because it to, like, July.
Because you want to see it fixed.
Yeah. I'm waiting.
July is when it's going to be better.
I'm waiting until I can play it offline. I think that's just, it's not like it's not even because of the other people. It's because I don't like the lag, honestly. I think that kind of ruins a lot of it.
I don't know, that's a game that I can understand people wanting to mod the fuck out of. I totally get that. I'm totally aware. I'm totally understanding. But, like, I play that game, and I play with all of its glitches, and I'm just like, I'm still having fun. Like, I don't see the problem.
Yeah, I've just had way too many disconnects and just, like, I don't like going into, like, a dungeon and being like, yeah, clearing the dungeon. And then, like, I'm, like, halfway through it, I'm like, where are all the enemies? And then suddenly they all spawn immediately right around me. Like, that's not how the dungeon was designed or intended. That's not what the devs wanted. That's just a broken system there. And I think that's partially due to the network issue. I think a lot of things would be immediately fixed if it could be played completely offline. I honestly do. I think, obviously, server disconnects wouldn't happen. That's already a big plus in my book. So, I mean, that's just kind of that's my big thing. I'll probably play it through vanilla once I can play it offline. But then after that, because now we're talking about a Fallout game that you can mod to have, you know, more NPCs, different types of quests, maybe more.
It's basically a blank canvas for modders.
Yeah, it's like you can make, and I think honestly that's kind of what Bethesda wanted anyway. But
what
I mean,
do you think?
Can,
you know. Sorry, go on.
No, I'm just saying, I think, like, imagine that experience where it's what I think we were all assuming we would get from multiplayer Fallout, role-playing type quests. You still have to pass checks through certain things. You've got enemies that actually spawn in the right place. You've got, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Just, I think modding Fallout 76 gives us the opportunity to have the multiplayer Fallout that more of the Fallout fan base actually wanted, in my opinion.
Who do you think wanted this game more, Bethesda or ZeniMax?
ZeniMax, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. After I see all this, like, I was in, shout out to her again for the second time, Mrs. E, I was in her stream yesterday, and she made something very, very apparent to me that I had not noticed. Daddy Hines has not tweeted since the game came out.
No shit, really?
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that either, and I was sitting there reading it and looking at it going, tell me they fucking fired this man.
No.
He's retweeted a couple things, he's... hasn't directly said anything. It's been just all like the game is getting an update. There's a retweet. There's Matt Grandstaff, who I follow on, I think, Instagram and or Twitter. I'm not sure if it's on Twitter, but he posts like he went kind of radio silent for a couple days, a few weeks maybe, but he's posting shit again. And like either Pete, because Pete Hines is always getting harassed on Twitter.
Well,
maybe
he's the social media face.
Yeah, that's true. That is his job.
Maybe he just knows to stay quiet.
Because there's just going to be backlash no matter what he says.
People still going to be tweeting at him.
Yeah, like I didn't even think to search like at Pete Hines to see what would come up.
I'm sure people are still tweeting at him.
But from what I'm getting from this game, like now that I'm kind of sitting back and looking at everything and seeing everything, I don't think Bethesda, quote unquote, wanted to make this game.
Well, you know,
sorry, what were we going to say?
No, I just, it's along the same line there. I don't think Bethesda wanted to make it. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I don't really remember any talking to anybody who even really wanted this game to like to play it.
Yeah. And I've said it before on the show and I'll say it again. This is not a game that I wanted until I heard about it might existing.
Yeah.
I've told the story before. Declan came up to me in school once and was like, hey man, how do you feel about an online Fallout?
And you said you'd fucking hate it.
I was like, I'm gonna hate it. It's going to ruin the series. That's not the point of Fallout. And I played it and I enjoyed it. Now, did I have rose-tinted glasses? Fucking yes, dude. Fuck yeah. I have a bias. I have a podcast about Fallout, of course. But like, at the same time, it appealed to me in the sense of I like the isolation. I like the loneliness. I like the feeling of it's me against the world. And that kind of increases when it's me and special guest Kyle and 20 or something other people that could come and kill me at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said,
I think you were expecting Fallout 4 multiplayer or like Fallout 3 multiplayer, Fallout New Vegas. You know, I think that's what you were picturing.
Yes and no.
If I'm being honest, I expected it to be a lot more like ESO than as what we got.
I never played ESO, so I didn't have
I played very
really?
Little. Yeah. I expected it to be more of a traditional MMO, basically.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I was watching an interview, I think it was with Pete Hines, and he said the best way for me to put this was D&D. And Declan and I together and separately have played a copious amount of Dungeons and Dragons.
So much.
So when they said that, especially the way, and you could attest for this, Declan, the way I DM a game is very much, here's a blank slate, let's do whatever we want within the confines of the rules. Yeah. So when I got... when I got 76 and it was like, leave the vault, figure it out. I was like, this is how I play D&D. Except I'm the player character and I'm the dungeon master at the same time. So I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
So could that be improved with modification? Absolutely. The state that the game is in? Abso-fucking-lutely. I can't tell you how many times I've been playing that game and just I've gotten rid of something or picked something up and it's like, you've just lost 30 ammo. And I'm like, from what? Or here's this. Here's the fucking... We went into this game making characters that were based on the characters we played from the Fallout D&D series that Declan started, right?
Which is a great way to do it, if we're being honest.
I think so, too. Yeah. I went into it playing my character, who is a charisma, kind of stealthy, pistol-holding type of guy, right?
Oh, well, you fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. You know exactly where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Kyle was our doctor. He's our medic in the game, right?
Yeah.
Kyle was going to get a syringer, he was going to poison people, he was going to slow people down, he was going to be a huge help, he was going to heal all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be a tactician, one that leads the quest.
Yeah, exactly. Declan was going to be like the scout who says, this ahead is this way. Mahaha. It was going to be, we had a whole thing. We had a tank. We had a person who was going to be just unarmed. And then Kyle and I are playing, and Kyle and I feel like we're doing no damage with hunting rifles. And Kyle, because we're not, exactly. Kyle whips out a fucking golf club and walks over to someone and fucking doesn't even hit him with it. He just sets it next to them and it falls on him funny. And he does like a fucking 400 damage hit.
Yeah.
Kyle can now not roleplay within the confines of his character unless they have surgical scissors he could hit somebody with. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Fix yeah. that. Modify yeah. the game so it has a way that I can still use my hunting. Like, the most I got my hunting rifle to do was like 130 damage, and Kyle's like, yeah, without any perk cards for this rolling pin, this does like 96 damage for me.
Yeah, that's just broken.
Everybody's walking around with super shish kebabs and power armor, and I'm like, this is not the wasteland I expected. Not everybody yeah. should be in power armor.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of things from I was watching something yesterday, and they're like, yeah, they're never going to make Fallout 5. And I'm like, bitch, you thought. Like, come on. You don't think they're going to make Fallout 5? Because Fallout 4 didn't make enough money?
Fallout 5 is going to be the redemption arc.
It's
a long time out.
I hope it's a long time out.
It fucking better be.
I hope they take 8 years with it. I hope I have, like, I'm on my second marriage and third kid when it comes out. Like, I hope they take forever to do it, because that's a game that when it comes out, I know I'm going to take a week and be like, this is, like, you know that picture of Mo from The Simpsons, and he's looking back and there's a noose and he's like, not this week, old friend.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to
be me that.
When Fallout 5 comes out, and be like, okay, this week, my friend. Like, this is going to be, like, I know that's a game, and especially if they do it right and they put it somewhere. And you know what? I wouldn't be opposed to them licensing it out to somebody again.
Give it to Obsidian. Because it worked
out so well the last time.
Sorry?
I said, yeah, because it worked out so well the last time.
Yeah, and you know what? Let somebody else, like, okay, if I'm writing for one of our shows, like, writing for Nuclear Family, I can always go to Declan and be like, yo, how do you think about this? But every once in a while, I go to special guest Kyle, and I'm like, dude, read this and tell me what you think. Because it's better when somebody else takes something, takes an idea, and they kind of put it through their own lens, they put it through their own perspective, they put it through their own fucking sifting colander, and they get a new way to look at something. They get to say, hey man, I like this, but instead of doing X, Y, and Z, why not do like LMNOP? Like, haha, yeah. I didn't think of that.
That's why I do the editing for Dixon. So it's a different style.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
If there's something you should know before you talk about wanting to license Fallout to another organization or company or whatever, there's pretty much only two groups of people left in this world who are really qualified to make a more, we're just going to simplify it a little bit, a more RPG style Fallout along the veins of the older ones, along the veins of the New Vegas type of role playing.
Mm-hmm.
The only two groups of people left to do that are pretty much mod authors and Bethesda themselves, because, well, Obsidian, it basically is, you know, the reason they did so well when they were given Fallout New Vegas to work with was because most of the people...
They got the band together.
Yeah. Most of the people on the team were from the original...
They were Black Isle people, yeah.
Yeah. And that those people aren't around anymore. Like, they're alive. They're just not... They don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
Brian Fargo is working on Outer Worlds right now, and I think Chris Avalon is as well.
I
heard that was a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not.
No,
I
think you didn't see the live stream?
Josh Sawyer is, too.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I don't know if Josh Sawyer is, but there was a live stream where Obsidian made people wait, and they're like, oh my god, this is it. This is New Vegas 2, Electric Boogaloo. And the live stream was like not even 5 minutes, and I think it was Chris Avalon, Brian Fargo, and maybe someone else there. And they're like, we're going to have a microtransaction? Nope. We're going to have a season pass? Nope. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. And they turned it off.
Yeah,
and it was what basically is now. But you know what? I'm kind of worried about the Outer Worlds.
I honestly, the one thing I want is if they let us mod it. I know it's exactly. If they let us mod it, I'll be so happy. But I am actually kind of excited for it. Why are you worried about it?
Because it's going to be. They said it's a small game. It's not going to have a huge map, and it's going to apparently have a linear quest line.
Well, that kind of differs from what I've heard. What really? Why are you not worried, Declan?
I'm not worried because when I looked at the trailer, I had this feeling that I really couldn't describe, but it was just like, I will put my eggs in this basket. Do you ever just feel something that's just like, this feels like a good thing, this feels right?
Declan, yes. Are you trying to buy a bridge?
Excuse me?
Are you trying to buy a bridge? I got a bridge for sale.
No.
Okay, all right, go on.
No, I'm not. But that doesn't feel right. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I saw the trailer and I was like, that game's going to do good. It's going
to
do well.
No, it's going to.
Yeah.
And do not.
I saw it and I was like, I want to play the fuck out of that.
I'm buying the special edition. Like, there's no question.
Yeah, I've tried to temper my attitude towards, because I bit hard on the Fallout 76 train and that came back to really, really burn me.
Did you buy a $200 fucking nylon bag and a plastic helmet?
All right. Well, it burned some people harder than me, but it burned me too, because I broke my mantra of never pre-order a game, broke that, and then the one time I did, I was like, well, good, now the game industry is ruined for me, and I'm never pre-ordering a game again. I can never get excited when I see trailers now. But I see what you're saying. It is the trailer, don't get me wrong, the trailer, I want to fall in love so hard, but I try to temper my attitude, because it's a danger. It's a slippery slope. You slide down that.
The one thing I saw about the game that really entices me is there was dialogue. And, like, that's such a shitty thing, but it was very, like, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas dialogue. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, baby girl. I didn't realize I wanted this so badly. Like, yeah, all right. No, it was just, like, one of those things where I was like, oh, fuck me. Like, I need this inside and around me.
But you know what I need inside and around me?
What is that?
I need Shane Ivers' music.
Yeah. Oh,
God, yes.
Yeah. So, for those of you that don't know, Shane Ivers makes this amazing tune called Feather Duster. It's our intro track. It's called Feather Duster.
And it's our what?
It's our intro track. If you want it, you can get it on silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather duster.
Yeah.
I would not advise taking that music, even though it is immaculate, just because we use it.
That's our show.
And I'll admit, I have a confession, guys. Yeah. I took the music because I'll tell you why. You'll forgive me. If you've ever seen the Family Guy episode where Peter Griffin, like, you know, he's like, oh, this is better than that time I had my own theme song. that's me. I took it. It's my own theme song now. People hate it. I'm on the bus going to school. People are like, you know, you got to turn that shit off. I'm like, can't, man. Shane Ivers.
I'm going to make a request. I don't ever want to ask people for worthless anything. But let's at Shane Ivers. Let's get Shane Ivers on the show.
Let's get Shane Ivers on the show.
Shane Ivers, please. You're more than welcome to come on the show.
Please.
But if you'd like to follow the show itself on Twitter, you can find us at Atomic Radio Hour. But if you'd like to find Declan, where can they find you, my friend?
You can find me at Declan_Bean on Twitter.
If you'd like to find myself, you can find me at, all capitals, the_Boogans. You can also follow us on Discord. There will be a link to our Discord in the description below. While we were in there, a couple people were chatting back and forth. We were actually talking with special guest Kyle about Bully. Red jumped in. We were talking about Bully, the panty raid mission in Bully. That exists.
Join our Discord, but before we go, we definitely want to give White Collar a chance to shout himself
out.
Oh,
shit. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I will go ahead and throw out my Twitter handle. I'll spell it out for you guys because, you know, following the same vein here. It's starts out with the at symbol. So at Alexa buy 12 boxes of brown sugar Pop-Tarts. Yes, yes, yes. Confirm. Accept.
Good thing I wear headphones for this, or else I would have been fucked.
Good thing I don't have a government listening device in my room.
If Alexa just bought you 12 boxes of Pop-Tarts, it's a mandatory. You have to like and comment on the video and
subscribe.
And subscribe, yes. And also, you're welcome.
Tweet the show at Atomic Radio Hour. Tweet the show a copy of the receipt when it comes hilarious. In.
Oh god, that'd be so funny.
That doesn't mean we're gonna pay for it.
No.
We
I
don't want to see the receipt.
Yeah, I want a funny haha while I'm at work. I can be like haha.
I want to know how much it costs, actually, genuinely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have a computer in front of me. I'll find out.
Well, yeah.
Brown? Do they have brown?
Brown sugar.
But white collar, well, Vince looks up the price of brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts. Would you like to drop your actual handle, or you?
No, you can't
put
me.
It in the, in the description. No, we're not going to.
You don't
want
to plug your mods at all?
Sure. Actually, yeah, you're right. Okay, you have a point. I was going to do it again with a different product, though. But anyway, no, in all seriousness, Fallout Cascadia, you can go to falloutcascadia.com. That is a big, big overhaul mod project for Fallout 4. If you don't know what it is, highly recommend looking at it. If you play Fallout 4, if you don't, you should. And check out that mod. Definitely think, if you're a fan of the RPG-style Fallouts, I think Fallout Cascadia is something you'll like. I'm working on quests for that. That's sort of my role there, is I help implement quests and stuff, so I can confidently say that they will be of the RPG nature and variety. Barstool Games is out for in a stable version for Fallout 4 on PC only, unfortunately. I wish I could do it, but I can't. It's on the Nexus. You can just look up Barstool Games and you'll find it. That's me.
Awesome. If that's all, then I would like to say thank you so much for watching, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
From the bottom of our hearts to the insides of your ears.
we also have a Twitch.
Oh yeah.
So we're just trying this out. Special guest Kyle is going to start streaming on our Twitch. We don't have a schedule. We don't really know what he's going to be playing. I think he wants to start playing the Bully games.
Yes.
There will be a link to our Twitch in the description below. If you want to get more of our content, which I really appreciate that, you can get us on, I think, all major streaming platforms.
We're on Apple Podcasts.
On the iTunes, right? Yeah, congrats,
yeah, thanks,
guys.
Man. That's we have awesome. iTunes, Spotify, CastBox, that's so cool. YouTube.
Stitcher.
Yeah. Stitcher. You can find us on YouTube at, or it's. I was going to give us our Twitter handle. It's youtube.com/AtomicRadioHour.
Nice.
And Declan, you want to announce the new thing?
I do want to announce the new thing. If you guys love what we do and want to show your support, we have just launched a Patreon. Oops, sorry about that.
What? Where can I find it?
We just launched a Patreon. And we've got tiers ranging from $1 to $1,000. So anything that you can give, if you want.
It's not mandatory.
It's not mandatory.
It will always be free.
Yeah.
This Atomic Radio Hour will always be free. I will never put a price on it. All of the money we are making off of the Patreon is going
right back to the show.
I'm not using it to buy sneakers. Declan's not using it to buy concert tickets. It's we can buy better equipment, we could buy better sound cards, we could buy better microphones. It's just to make the listening experience better.
You should donate to help buy Vince a gaming PC so he can actually know what mods are, what good mods are.
That's too much in the realm of shit that I would spend on myself, because then I can fucking play video games and then go on Amazon and buy a self-stirring mug and look up hentai. Not that I would, but it's a possibility if I have my own.
Alright. You heard it here first.
But yeah, if you want, there's a link in the description. There's, I think, 4, 5, or 6 tiers in there. Each one has various different things in there. Just check it out. Like I said, you don't have to give us anything. But if you do, from the depths of our being, we truly, truly appreciate that.
Very much love.
Speaking of things coming from the depths of our being, there's an original piece of content coming. It's only Tuesday when we record, so I don't know what it is, but enjoy it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Wear a condom. Bye.
Isolation. Who then defines isolation? And the process or effect of isolating or being isolated. Example. I love isolation. Of my mountain retreat. For as long as I can remember, isolation was my coping mechanism. My way out. My way to escape. My way to disconnect. I cared not to my hurt or disregarded because of my own selfishness. Part of me tried to rationalize it as a type of hibernation. A reflective period. a meditation, if you will, but a lot more of an abandonment of myself, and an abandonment of those I love and kept around me. The realization of talking to the same people every day yet never really having a conversation is a sobering one, to say the least. All of this a reaction to your childish ways, acting like a child to get whatever shiny new toy you desire. Isolation. No, I do not want to get dinner with you. No, not tomorrow, not the next day, I want to be alone. I don't care if you want to see the movie, I don't want to. What's bothering me? Nothing, I am fine. I don't want to talk about it. Why would anything be wrong with me? Mind your own fucking business. I never asked for any of this, none of that, I just want to be left alone. Isolation. Now what is the point of bringing this up? Because after years of isolation, I have been isolated. And part of me wants to be upset for the acts against me. And another part cannot be. I understand the hurt in my impact while others. Abandonment. Such worthless, pathetic feeling. I am hurt. I want to be upset, yet cannot find it within myself to find the pity in either party. But here I am rambling, speaking into nothingness, talking about a pain that I am having a hard time verbalizing. A pointless exercise in mental masturbation. Just to know that much like the bear, I will retreat back into my cave, back into my own world of hurt, and feel even worse about the pointless sort of that I keep in the endless from my gray matter. I shall retreat back into isolation. Isolation. Isolation.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.